The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the regents of the University of California, nor the management of KUCI. Coming up, Subversity with Dan Zhang. Today we're going to talk about conditions in Orange County Jail. And guess who's in charge of the jail? It's a guy you've been seeing on TV quite a bit, Mike Corona. And people think he might even run for office now. He even went to see G.W. Bush. And all because of his supposed skill in catching this alleged perpetrator of this crime of child abduction and murder. But he's actually in charge of OC Jail. But behind the bars is a dirty picture, as we're going to find out today, behind the bars on Flower Street in Santa Ana. So we're going to find out today. We're going to talk with a person who's been involved in monitoring the jail situation since the 70s, or maybe even before. And we'll hear about what's really happening behind those bunker spaces on Flower Street in Santa Ana. Welcome to the show. With us is Dick Herman, who's a longtime civil rights attorney here in Orange County. Welcome.
Oh, thank you very much, Dan. Nice to be here.
Recently, how do you think? Recently, you've been in the papers quite a bit. But if you look back, has there been any changes that are noticeable in the jail situation?
Well, I thought so. There's always hope when there's a new administration. You hope that things will change, but it turned out, much to my amazement, that there's just a lot of intransigence in the sheriff's department, and particularly in the jail operations at the very lowest levels, so that the culture of the jail guards is such that the way it was in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s is the way it still is today.
Somebody wrote in when I sent out the email about your talk and said that they put the those Orange County deputies in the jail as training before they go out on the street. Do you think that's...
Well, it's true, and it's part of the problem. By and large, sheriff's deputies would rather be in patrol cars than be in the jail. If you think about your job occupation and your job environment, the jail is not good. There are jails which use corrections personnel who don't want to go out on the streets. There are people who want to be corrections officers. That's not been the practice in Orange County, unfortunately.
Oh, because is there any kind of sensitivity training of the sheriff's people? Because I know there's a diversity council that Mike Corona relies on once they meet once a month, and the ACLU is on that, the NAACP is on that, the Latino community has represented, there's one Asian that goes there regularly. So they're supposedly buddy-buddy with the sheriff, and supposedly it's his way of trying to find out what's happening in the community. But do you think that these representatives of the community know what's really going on?
Well, my last filed memorandum to court was right on point. It said, racist deputies in the Orange County Jail are abusing and beating the black inmates. A gang of racist guards known as the Psycho Crew or Suicide Committee are abusing black detainees in the Orange County Jail verbally, psychologically, and physically. This abuse includes racial slurs, discriminatory treatment, psychological abuse, and physical beatings. More than a third of the black inmates interviewed had been beaten by guards. I mean, when you get to that level of abuse, and where, I will tell you, black inmates are beaten three times more frequently than other inmates, there's no question that there's racism. There's no question that there's abuse. There's no question that the racism and abuse is unchecked, and all the sensitivity meetings in the world don't seem to be able to eliminate the abuses that go on in the Orange County Jail.
I've been visiting jail recently every week, and it seems like, you know, since I went, I think I used to go in the 90s, and even at that time they had limited visitors to like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But before, I think you could go on Thursday. And I know in the state prison system, they even have restricted journalist visits. How do you get in? Can you just walk in and visit whoever you want?
Well, attorneys can visit. And
particular specific clients, or can you just go in and...
Well, I have to identify the person I want to visit.
Yeah.
And there are lots of people who want to see me, so there's no lack of people to visit in the system. The letters and the calls come in all the time, but attorneys are permitted to visit by state law, so that you can visit. The one case where that was a problem was someone who had been beaten and was being held, basically naked and incommunicado. And when I went in to visit, they said, well, he can't have an attorney visit. He's being tested. And then the next day, he can't have an attorney visit. He's out for tests and he's being watched. And it was all a lie.
So they make up excuses.
They make up excuses. And eventually I went to the jail commander and said, you know, you're violating the law. And he said, well, you know, do you think the DA will prosecute? And I said, the DA never has. So I doubt it, but, you know, let me see this guy. And
can you walk in just unannounced?
You can walk in unannounced and request to see an inmate visiting.
Around.
Oh, no, you can't walk into the jail, no. Oh, no, nobody can walk into the jail.
Would you visit them in a special room? Or?
You visit them in an attorney visiting area.
Oh, I see. So it's different from the public where they sit behind glass and
it is
talk on a phone.
Possible for attorneys to have a contact visit, yes.
I remember a case I worked on in 93 involving a Vietnamese American, and a Vietnamese, actually I don't know if he was an American citizen, but he said he had called you, and after he called you they found out that he had called, the deputies pushed him against the wall and basically they didn't exactly beat him up, but they manhandled him. And he had a bullet in his back, so it was very painful. And he was in pain, and the flesh had rotted. So the roommates or the inmates in his cell said, call, you know, Dick Herman. So he called, and after that, he was basically punished for calling the kind of ACLU person. And
it's actually Prisoners' Rights Union, which is a... an organization
kind of like
considerably to the left of the ACLU.
Oh, I see.
That actually, actually really fights for prisoners' rights, right. and does it not as a fundraiser, but because that's what they believe in.
But he was actually able to contact us because at that time, I'm not sure about now, there's a book truck that goes around with library books, and there was a woman in our group that had written a biography about leaving Vietnam, and her address was on the back. So he wrote a letter to her, and then she started visiting him, and I started visiting him, and eventually we actually demonstrated outside the courthouse over his case. I wrote an op-ed for the LA Times, and a few days before his trial, and then he was released a few days after. He was charged with, he was shot in the back, but charged with the shooting of his friend that was killed. He never had a gun, but they argued that he started the argument that led to the shooting. Or something, and like that. So he was scared of going back to jail, so he didn't want to plead not guilty, so he pleaded guilty to manslaughter or something. But they let him go after a few days of, you know, the trial started, and he was let go. So basically they didn't have a case, so they let him go. I mean, if he was a real murderer, they wouldn't have let him go.
Well, it's part of the problems with the system. Many cases are resolved for time served.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, they hold people, poor people who can't make bail, and they're in jail for so long awaiting trial that by the time they get to trial, or often long before trial, there's an offer to let them go for the amount of time they spent in jail, which can be months or even years.
Yeah.
So even if they're not guilty, they plead guilty, and that's one of the flaws in the system. In fact, sometimes if you're not guilty, you would have to spend more time in jail than if you were guilty, because to fight for that not guilty verdict would take you more time in jail, because you can't make your bail, than if you just pled guilty and were released. And that's another one of the problems. Most of the people in the worst jail, which is the main jail on the IRC, the jails downtown, are pretrial detainees. They haven't been sentenced to anything. They've been held because they're accused of a crime, but they may or may not have committed that crime. And although many of those cases are cleared by a plea, that plea is very often to time served or close to it, because it takes so long for them to get to trial.
You mentioned that there were gladiator fights, basically, or stage fights between the inmates that the deputies arrange.
Yes.
That sounds like Corcoran, which there was a lot more publicity about that kind of situation at the state prison, the Corcoran.
Well, it was more frequent at Corcoran. Here, although there's evidence that there are more stage fights, the specific inmate that I talked with was someone who just got in fights. He had problems and he got in fights, and he was put in situations where he would get in fights and the guards would watch, and then he wouldn't be punished, and he wouldn't be separated. This was done for the amusement of the guards, because...
Did anybody get punished for the fights?
No.
Oh, so...
No. This was... Entertainment for the guards.
So you didn't get written up or sent to a solitary
right.
or anything?
That's right.
Huh. And how long has this been going on?
Well, in this particular case, this was over a period of several years that this particular inmate was in the jails.
And this group of anti-black deputies, you call them, what did you call them?
Oh, the psycho crew.
Yeah.
Well, the psycho crew, they actually hate everybody. But it just happens that because blacks are more visible and they're kept in one area of the old jail, they tend to get more abuse. They tend to be abused as a group and discriminated against. So that if you look at the things that happen to them, as bad as it is for everybody else, it's even worse if you're black.
There aren't that many blacks in there, right?
There's one tier which will contain anywhere from 8 to 12
uh-huh.
in the old men's jail of people who have slightly higher classifications than a general classification. And of those who were there or had been there, I interviewed 9. I actually got declarations from 9. And of those, 3 had been beaten by guards, and another one had been kicked by a guard.
And are these in the men's jail or in the other?
These are basically in the men's jail.
How come they, what is the reason for the policy for segregating people by race?
Well, it's really very complicated. In theory, they're segregated by race to avoid violence, although people of various races can be put together and are in many cells. But some of it is a spillover from the state prison system. And what the state prison system does, unbelievably, is the state prison system encourages racial gangs. And it does that as a means of dividing the prisoners from each other so that they can't unify to try to improve conditions. And by playing off one racial group against another, the guards in state prisons basically use that to control the prisons, so that if someone is difficult, they wind up in a fight situation, or they wind up with people with whom contact is inappropriate, and they get injured, they get hurt, they get killed.
Yeah.
And the Prisoners' Rights Union has for years fought against that. I mean, that was one of the founding principles, was the prisoners should all work together to try to improve the conditions in the state prison system. But the guards have quite successfully managed to maintain racist prison gangs. The problem is that this spills over. So having managed to create among white prisoners the Aryan Brotherhood, you wind up with the Nazi lowriders in Huntington Beach. So you wind up with the evils of created by the prison system spilling over into society. It's the reason why jail and prison reform is so important. In a jail in particular, 97% of the people are there for drugs and alcohol. All of them, basically every single one of them, will be back on the street in your community sooner or later. And any sentenced prisoner who's sentenced to county jail time is going to be back within a year or less. So if you teach evil instead of teaching good, if you brutalize people, if you abuse people, what you get is you get damaged persons coming out of the system. Exactly the opposite of what you want to happen. And somehow the system and the people in this county have lost sight of the fact that they are us. The people in the county jail are us. They're part of us, they're part of our community. And whatever joy you get from abusing them just comes back to haunt you. If in the state prison system you didn't have the system of racial antagonism, you wouldn't have Nazi lowriders in Huntington Beach. It's a direct result of unbenign neglect of people who wind up incarcerated.
How does the sheriff play into this then? I mean, is he really responsible for what's going on in there? I mean, he's in charge, right?
The bottom line is it's on his watch. I told him 2 years ago that there were rumors of a prison guard gang. And the sheriff and his staff weren't real happy that there were rumors of a prison guard gang, but couldn't manage to figure out who it was. It turns out it wasn't very hard. If you looked at who was getting beaten and who was doing the beatings, the same names showed up regularly, and in fact, the inmates themselves knew that there was a gang of prison guards. The psycho crew was roaming the jail, literally beating the prisoners, or the suicide committee, it's called, to depending by which group of inmates. But if the psycho crew is on the loose and the inmates can identify the psycho crew, there's no excuse for the sheriff and the sheriff's department not having identified the rogue deputies. And the problem is they could have done it if they wanted to. It's very hard for them to get other deputies to testify because of the code of silence. Mm-hmm. That is, the code of silence means that that one deputy won't testify against another, a guard won't testify against another guard, and they would have had to use inmate testimony, and that would have upset, the Sheriff's Deputy Association, the union, which is a big supporter of the sheriff, and a big supporter of the psycho crew. The psycho crew, those are all members in good standing. The psycho crew are all members in good standing of the union. But for the good deputies to stand silent while the bad deputies are committing crimes is illegal. It's and wrong, but it's illegal. The system breaks down. If law enforcement acts illegally and breaks the law, the system breaks down. And that's the point at which people have to stand up and be counted, and which action has to be taken.
How many people in jail are there because they're awaiting trial? What percentage do you think?
In the men's jail and the women's jail downtown, basically everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. Everybody. If you're sentenced, you go out to the honor farm.
Because I've been there visiting, and some people have been there for 2 years without even having a trial yet.
Sure, waiting trial. Sure. Yeah. That's not uncommon.
Yeah.
Two, three, 4 years, 5 years.
Five years?
Yeah, there are people who are there a very long time.
When it violates the, isn't there a rule for speedy trial?
Well, there's a rule for speedy trial, but then there are appeals, and then there are motions, and then there's discovery, and people waive their time so that they can get more information. It's not, I don't have a problem with the length of time to trial. The problem I have is that in other systems, those folks wouldn't be in jail at all. In the federal system, for example, one can post a signature, what's called a signature bond. And that means you're arrested and your brother comes in and he says, and the judge says bail is $10,000 or $50,000 and you sign for it.
Huh.
And they walk out.
They don't have to put any money down?
They don't have to put any money down. Right. They don't have to put up property. They don't have to, you know, sign and gone.
10%.
No, there's no nothing.
Oh.
Just a signature and you walk out the door. And the level of crimes, overwhelming the local neighborhood, let's say 90% of the crimes in the Orange County Jail, the people who are pretrial detainees, you know, should be pop out the door. I mean, if you're arrested on a traffic warrant, it's $10,000 bail. Those folks aren't in the federal system. They're not the, you know, the signature bond is written and off they go. In the Orange County Jail, they're in the jail.
We're talking with Attorney Dick Herman. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the Regents of the University of California nor the management of KUCI. The number here is 949-824-5824. 949-824-5824 if you want to chat with our guest, ask him any questions you want, or make any comments. 949-824-5824. I mean, I know in L.A. County, the jail there, they segregate people with AIDS separately, or they could, if you tell them. And do they do the same thing in Orange County, or separate the gay prisoners, for instance?
Not necessarily exactly in that way. They they will do some higher classifications for overtly gay prisoners, transsexuals. They need to do things for patients with AIDS. They need to do things for patients with hepatitis C. There are lots of folks in the jail who have very serious medical problems, and some of them just die.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them just die. There's no question that there are people who die as a result of lack of medical treatment in the Orange County Jail. Not just today. This has historically been a problem in that jail.
I heard when I was once on the local board of the ACLU, and they were saying that they were even denying, because of the Orange County bankruptcy, they were denying toilet paper to the jail. Was that true?
Well, that's not...
To the women's jail?
It's not true. What happens is there are insufficient amounts issued, and it's withheld, and it's... You know, the problem with an abusive system is it then becomes abusive at the most trivial levels, becomes abusive in places where it shouldn't be at all.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of insensitivity.
Because I was attending a trial once with Robin Park, I think, as this notorious prosecutor, and she had even the charges on a blackboard, a whiteboard or whatever, written, and it was wrong. And she blamed it on the bankruptcy, said they didn't have enough chalk or paper to rewrite it. I mean, it was like to show the jury what the charges were against, you know, this guy, or what the scenario was or something. And then she blamed it on the bankruptcy, that they didn't have enough paper or chalk or whatever. Or felt pen or whatever it was.
Well,
so, I mean, it's always, it could be used as an excuse.
Those excuses don't work. The bottom line is the Constitution protects the people that are held in custody with very basic rights. I mean, so basic as to be trivial. 15 minutes to eat your meals, 2 hours a day in a day room, a couple hours a week of outdoor exercise. A couple hours, two.
Yeah.
2 hours a week of outdoor exercise.
Just a week, yeah.
Yeah, a couple of visits a week. Nothing that's above, and some things which are probably below, the bare minimum way that you would treat human beings. Nonetheless, the jail is skewed to try and take those things away also. If you violated the rules, and I'll give you an example, there is a vermin infestation in the jail. There are rats, and the women in the IRC put boxes under their doors to keep the rats from coming in at night. That's a rule violation for which you lose day room, outdoor exercise, visits, telephone access, just a straight write-up, and that's done at the whim of a guard. That's not done with any real process. And yet those are the very rights which the court gave to the inmates in Stewart v. Gates. So you have this attitude that the rights are privileges and that we can take them away and that the court can't tell the sheriff's department what to do.
But the court ordered, you were involved in this case where when you began monitoring, was it over overcrowding in the jail or what?
Well, there was a special master appointed. And my work in monitoring comes and goes depending upon the judge and the time and what happens. I mean, there is an ebb and flow. For instance, 15-minute meals, which are now down to 5 or 10 minutes, got up to 15 minutes, and they used to have a clock in the chow hall so that the inmates could eat and they could see that it was 15 minutes. Well, that clock has come off. And I can't tell you how many times the clock in the chow hall comes off and goes back on and comes off and goes back on, just depending upon the way the wind is blowing. And so we're in a period where the clock is off. And
it's not for repair or something?
No. The clock is off so the prisoners don't know whether they're getting their 15-minute meals. And it's certainly one of the things we've asked the judge to do, to have them put the clock back up. I mean, there are some very simple things which lead to remedies of the violations of the court orders. So
it's not overcrowded now, or is it?
It's not overcrowded in the sense that there are more prisoners than beds. That order is generally obeyed, except when someone is singled out for special abuse. And then they're put naked in a room without a mattress, and that's for special guys and gals.
Is that in solitary? Or?
Well, no, it happens in a couple of ways. It comes naked in the rubber room, which is absolutely in violation of a specific court order that says that everyone has to be in a cloth jumpsuit or its equivalent.
What's a rubber room?
A rubber room you don't want to know. Rubber room, if you saw the Green Mile, there was a room at the end of the hall which they had filled with filing cabinets and furniture, and when they wanted to punish somebody, they emptied it out and they put them in the rubber room. The rubber room is literally a large closet with rubber walls and a hole in the floor for a toilet. The theory is that you put mentally ill people in there so they don't harm themselves, but of course, if you put a crazy person in the rubber room, makes them crazier, and if you put a sane person in the rubber room, it makes them crazy. So
they have something similar here in Orange County?
Yes, they love their rubber rooms in Orange County, but we brought a lawsuit some years ago, which resulted in an order that people in the rubber room had to be clothed. They had to have the use of a real toilet. They had to have toilet paper. They had to have a place to wash, which obviously is being ignored because now they have people naked in the rubber room again. In addition, if you're really special, they'll put you naked in a regular cell in the IRC without a mattress and anything. And in one case, and of course you're held incommunicado, so you can't call anyone and tell them that you're naked in the rubber room or you're naked in a cell or, you know.
IRC is
intake and release.
Yes,
that's the modern part, but the modern part is fully equipped with all the medieval torture devices you would ever want. I mean, in addition to rubber rooms, they have the restraint chair.
And the restraint chair
is, they don't like you, they tie you in a restraint chair and you have a spasm and you die. I mean, the restraint chair is...
People have died.
The restraint chair is the most idiotic device ever invented. And the fact that they actually sell it to people, and the fact that Orange County actually bought it is just amazing.
How many people have died here?
People, nobody has died in that chair. And I've always threatened that if there was ever an example of use of that chair, I would for sure sue them. Because what that restraint chair does is immediately cause anyone to have an anxiety attack. I mean, imagine if you were tied into a chair. It's just unbelievable. I mean, I can't imagine what the jailers are thinking when they bring devices like that into a jail, when they design a jail.
It's a medieval torture thing.
But all this great torture stuff is done instead of enlightened penology. I mean, now the big thing is pepper spray. We do pepper spray. It's really pretty amazing.
Yeah. How about, I think I did see one of these restraint chairs in the Santa Ana jail. It was actually open house one day. They opened it out and they had, the weird thing I remember was, it was open to the public, anybody could go in. But I had a camera, so I took a lot of pictures, and some of them showed up in OC Weekly later. But the thing I do remember was the color coding. They had blue for males and the rooms, the cells, and pink for women. So it was like totally gender segregated. I mean, the rooms were, but they was like so stereotypical. And then they had like a little hole for, if you were in solitary, you could move the food in at the little hole in the door and you could push it in for the person in there. But they had so much room that they were renting out space to other police departments.
Well,
like
Santa Ana actually rents out space to the federal government.
Oh, right.
And there are complaints from federal prisoners about the conditions in the Santa Ana jail.
Right, because it's so new and they had this electronic, it's almost like a panopticon kind of guy sitting there looking in front of a computer screen and all these buttons and, you know, totally high-tech kind of thing. You could see everything, I suppose, from that location.
Well, the problem is that that's all confusion. It's, you know, the technical stuff is the wrong way to do it. It's exactly the opposite of the way you want to run a jail. Basically, what you want is direct supervision. You want to have living areas and a daytime space where there's actually a guard sitting in with the detainees.
Why is that better?
Because then the detainees have access to the guard for anything they need, and the guard gets to figure out who's in there. In the Orange County jail, I mean, the brutality isn't bravery. Brutality is just the opposite. Brutality is because the guards are afraid of the prisoners. They could never conceive that they could be in there with the prisoners because they are afraid the prisoners would kill them. Well, if they quit beating the crap out of the prisoners wouldn't want to kill them anymore. I mean, if they were decent, then things would work out much better. So in the better jails, where people are decent, the guard sits with the prisoners at a desk, and the prisoners have free access, and they have free access to the prisoners, and they're basically there all the waking hours. And by direct supervision, you get rid of virtually all the problems that we experience in the Orange County jail.
You know, in prisons, they have this, I guess there's some, some setup so that they can actually go to a prison library, maybe some state, or is that federal prisons?
Well, no, in the prison system that exists, the prisons in California vary from moderately enlightened but still pretty awful to absolutely awful, to the lockdown, the high security prisons like Pelican Bay and Corcoran, where there's very little exercise. There's very little human contact.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sensory deprivation. And they basically take people who aren't very nice to start with and make them mean. It's just like,
yeah,
you know, how do
okay.
you make a dog mean? If you beat a dog, the dog gets mean. If you lock a dog in a closet, a dog gets mean. If you do the same thing with a human being, the human being gets mean. And then they get released.
But do they provide literature? Like I gave the example of a book truck, but what are they required to do in terms of books and reading material? I know they get the LA Times and the Register, but
sometimes.
Yeah.
Although the recent Register article was cut out, actually that whole section was missing.
Your article about you?
The
about this lawsuit?
Last week.
The week's. C section, the B section.
Yeah, the B section was gone.
The LA Times said a piece also.
Yes, yeah, the LA Times.
Yeah, that got in.
Yeah.
That got in.
But there doesn't seem to be any real. There's a court order in the Orange County jail case that says that an inmate can receive through the mails anything that can be sent through the mails, magazines, newspapers, and so forth.
But I thought they had to get it from publishers.
Books, publishers only. Magazines and newspapers from anyone.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
Although, generally, it's coming from publishers. We provided the Prisoners' Rights Union in the... I think in the South Lake Tahoe jail, but it may have been one of the others. We actually provided Spanish books because they were just unavailable in that area in Northern California. So that Spanish-speaking prisoners could have something to read. So most jails are willing to make reading materials available. I mean, it makes sense. One of the problems in the Orange County jail is many of the reading materials are only available in the day room, and many of the inmates only get day room for 2 hours a day.
Mm.
So they're locked down without reading materials.
You can check it out.
Sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. Mm. It seems to be hit and miss. I haven't ever met an inmate who's told me that he had enough to read and that things that he wanted were available, or she, and that they were pleased with their stay in the Orange County Jail. Not one. I mean, I've never had anybody say, gee, things aren't so bad, Dick, you know.
So it's not a country club.
Well, not even though it's not a country club. Uniformly, every single inmate complains of abuse by the guards.
Yeah. Actually, in the case I mentioned earlier, it was actually a Vietnamese language book. So I don't know what kind of provision they give to, you know, because a lot of Asians, they are Vietnamese. And so, you know. Is there any? They're not required to have a librarian on staff now, huh?
Well, there is a lot of staff available for programs because the inmate welfare fund is so flush with cash that the sheriff's department basically looks for various ways to use it.
What's that fund? Where does the money come from?
That money is it's classic Orange County. It's reverse Robin Hood. It's steal from the poor and give to the county. And the way that the poor are fleeced is that the families of the prisoners who are so poor that they can't make bail.
Oh, I see. I remember. Yeah.
Who are in the jail because they're poor, these poor folks are charged exorbitant rates for collect phone calls, which is the only way that people in the jail can call their families.
Yeah.
So that your 35-cent pay call to Santa Ana, you know, one block away from the jail, right, is $2 or $3 or $5. Because it's an operator assisted call. Collect.
Yeah. I heard that in the state prison they just change it so that I know in the past I've received calls even on the show from jail, but the inmate calls the family and then it's a 3-way call and then the family calls me and so they I don't have to pay for the, you know, the station doesn't have to pay for the collect call. But I heard that in the state prison they just implemented a new rule that says if there's another person picking up the phone, then it would go dead. So that's apparently new. I heard from some other people that were here in the station whose parents are public defenders or whose family people are public defenders. Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that, but it doesn't surprise me because that's one of the means that's used for people to contact their friends and family.
Yeah.
And it's typical of what happens in an abusive system. Basically, sunlight is the best disinfectant. If you open things up, you allowed free communication, you allowed the complaints to get out, then things would improve.
But there's a disincentive to complain, right? I mean, some prisoners are afraid of retaliation.
Many prisoners are afraid of retaliation, and many prisoners get retaliated against.
Yeah.
There's no question that people who have assisted me recently have been retaliated against. They'll come back from a visit, from seeing me in the attorney visiting area, and the deputies who are taking them back to their cell will roust them out and go through their cell looking for contraband, whatever they can find, send them down to the hole for 10 days because they've been bad prisoners. Well, the hole is not fun. The situation in the old men's jail, which is long obsolete, is very dungeon-like. If you're in the hole, you are in a dark, smelly, damp place where the likelihood of a hot shower is zero. There's no hot water in your cell. There's no access to anything. There are no books. There's no recreation. There's no day room. You're basically locked down. There's a prisoner in there now.
Is it light or?
No, it's dark.
Oh.
It's dark. It's dark. It's like a dungeon.
It's like a South American, jail where they throw political prisoners.
It's worse, actually. I mean, remember that in those areas, you get family visits. You have the ability to have your family bring in food from the outside. You have the ability to get reading material. The conditions in the Orange County jail are much worse. They're based on isolation and sensory deprivation. So if you're in the hole, you're literally in a dungeon. And there's a prisoner now, Mr. Valenzuela, who's altogether will be in the hole for 60 or 70 days straight. He got a 3-day break after 30 days. And after I called the assistant sheriff and the Board of Corrections and informed them that they were about to violate the rules by leaving him in there for 2 months without a break. And the Board of Corrections rule is that after 30 days, he has to be seen by a mental health counselor to see what effect it's having. Of course, it has a big effect, but it doesn't seem to make any difference. And they were also about to violate an old court case where, it just keeps coming around again. This is something from 20 years ago where they were doing exactly the same thing, where they would pick on a prisoner, they would sort of select a prisoner, and that detainee wound up in isolation basically forever. They were permanently housed in disciplinary isolation. And so they just would stay there, and they would keep getting written up, and they were there for months and months. And the result of that court case was that after 30 days, in addition to the mental health counselor, you got out with full privileges for 3 days. And that basically happened after I pointed out to them that they were about to violate, and had told the inmate they were going to violate yet another court order. All right,
it just keeps coming back to haunt.
Well, it's just amazing because you have the court orders, you try the rubber room case, no more prisoners naked in the rubber room, and you come back and it's 10 years later, and what's going on? Well, there are prisoners naked in the rubber room again. You weren't there, right? Boom, it's a court order. What do we care?
So, if, I don't know what Corona would say, but if he says that this was just you know, these court orders were in the past, that these things don't happen. What would you say to that?
Well, they do happen. I mean, there's no question that they happen. There's significant evidence presented to the court now, more than 20 declarations from inmates, that in fact these very things are happening now as we speak.
So it's a matter of leadership? Do you think it's a matter of lack of leadership, lack of concern, lack of...
guts and backbone. You know, there's a difference between opportunism and integrity, and it takes real strength of character to stand up to your own deputies' union, which is what he's got to do.
Do you think the suspect, Avila, who was, you know, caught in this latest thing that Corona is getting credit for, will he get beat up? Because usually child molesters are treated the worst.
No, actually,
high-profile
cases are treated very well because they're housed separately, they're watched carefully.
They give you a different...
Well, he's got a different band. He'll be a blue band, but he won't even be a regular blue band. I mean, he's not going to get beaten. He's not going to get abused. He's going to be off by himself with basically no contact with anyone or anything ever as long as he's there.
But people could visit him, right? I heard that for blue bands, it's like more restricted. You only visit at 1 o'clock. And you can visit people for an hour or something. I mean, there's less time you can actually, a few hours.
Well, you know, he's still covered by the Stuart v. Gates orders.
Yeah.
So he's entitled to visits by court order. I mean, the court's ordered that there be visits. So he's entitled to visits. He's entitled to telephone access. He's entitled to a great many things. But as a practical matter, he'll be housed separately from every other person in there. And he'll be treated specially. So he'll actually be treated better. It's the average, ordinary person. It's the guy who comes in on a traffic warrant who doesn't keep his mouth shut, or the guy who's had too many beers, or the woman who's had too many beers who comes in, that gets the crap beaten out of him, literally.
There was this UCI student earlier a few months ago who went in for a few hours in OC jail, and the deputies knew he was gay, and so they made fun of his orientation, and then they actually beat him up. And I know that in cases like sometimes the inmates are reluctant to tell the deputies that they're gay because they seem to be segregated or given a different band so that they can't meet, you know, visitors easily, or it's much more hassle. So sometimes they may be singled out and treated differently. But I know in L.A. County, I interviewed an inmate who had been released, and he was in the AIDS ward, or the gay ward, or whatever, and they have a special ward for gays, and when they had complained about the situation, the ACLU came in, and right after the ACLU left, he said that the deputies came in and just ransacked everybody's bed, threw everything on the floor, just in retaliation. But they had good parties there. They made, you know, dresses out of paper that was, you know, wrapping the pears or whatever, and they had like Halloween parties and that kind of thing. But he said next time he goes in, he's not going to tell them who he is because it's just, you know,
not happy about the gay word.
Yeah.
Trashing the inmate's cells is a favorite occupation of the guards in the jail for no good reason. It's again the same thing.
This was actually a big room where everybody was in and their beds, and they just threw everything on the floor.
It's abuse for its own sake, and it happens quite frequently. It's just another part of making things as miserable as possible for no reason, because what you really want to do is the opposite. What you really want to do is while you've got someone's attention full time, 24 hours a day, you want to take them and show them the opportunities to participate in society, to straighten out their lives, to ditch their drug or alcohol habit, you know, to do the things.
But they don't do that.
They do.
But basically it's throwing away the key, right? Lock you up and throw away the key.
Well, as I say, they have all these millions of dollars to spend on programs and whatever. So there are lots of programs, but they're somewhat capricious in the way that people are permitted to attend them, depending upon where you're housed. So, for example, the black prisoners don't get to go to chapel, even though there's a court order that says everyone gets to go to chapel. It was one of the Stuart V. Gates orders.
Why is that?
Because they're black.
Say that again?
Because they're black.
What's the implication there?
For whatever reason, as part of the discrimination against blacks in the jail, black inmates do not get to go to chapel. So that of 9 black inmates of 8 black inmates that I interviewed, none got to go to chapel. Now, there was one who was housed in a different area who did get to go. But of those in the normal area where black inmates were housed in the main jail, none got to go to chapel ever. That was just never offered to black inmates.
Is the percentage of blacks or other people of color, is that a large percentage in the jail?
Well,
the majority.
The majority of jails are Hispanic.
Latin, yeah.
The majority of jails are Hispanic.
Right.
Blacks are a very small percentage, and
right.
A very small percentage in Orange County.
Yeah.
But they're singled out for a disproportionate amount of abuse, which is the problem. I mean, if you're in an abusive situation, it's bad
right.
enough. But if that's multiplied because of racial discrimination, that's untenable. That's beyond anything that we can tolerate.
You know, in the past, they used to have a list of all the names of prisoners, inmates at the counter. And you could, printouts, and you could flip mm-hmm. through it and see, how many Nguyen's there were, how many, mm-hmm. Wong's there were, how many whatever mm-hmm. they were. And now it's all on a computer, so you can't even look at it. You have to, so can you get a list of names of, is that public record?
No, you can go on the internet, and actually on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, which are visiting days.
Oh, good.
There is a list in the intake and release center.
Right.
Over against the window of all the prisoners. So there's a printout of everyone's name. So that you
is that
can
in the visiting area?
In the visiting area, the intake and release center where you go in.
Yeah.
Where the deputies' windows are.
On the other side?
It's against the opposite wall, and you'll see people flipping through. Yeah.
Oh,
it exists.
Really? I didn't see that last few times I was there recently.
And it's also available on the website.
No, really? It's public? Oh, huh.
Let's use your internet. You can learn all about the Orange County Jail, more than you want to know.
How about, I also want to track down people I've, visited before, and I don't know which prison they're in. Mm-hmm. Is there an easy way to find that on the internet?
There is a
phone number.
Prisoner finder phone number in yeah. Sacramento.
Ah, I see.
That you can call and they'll locate.
It's the Department of Corrections.
Yes.
So you just need the name, or you need the
name and date of birth.
Oh, okay.
So this is real useful.
Yeah, yeah. So how long have you been doing this type of work?
Oh, I'm 30 years in practice in this county. Yeah. I've been doing civil rights work and criminal defense all those years, and I still am. I was spent the morning doing some criminal cases, and then I was off at the jail. And
I thought you had retired. Everybody.
Well, I had retired, and they, as they say, they pulled me back in. I was out, and they pulled me back in. I thought I would do just a little criminal defense stuff, and I've now got several class actions going against the jail, against the juvenile hall.
How do they pay? Oh, these are class actions.
They're class actions, yeah.
So they're like...
They're attorney's fees in the end if you're successful.
Oh, yeah. What if you're not successful?
You're not successful, you don't get paid.
You eat it, yeah.
I basically support the class actions with a small criminal defense practice, and
right.
that seems to work.
So how do people, do you have a website or can people find you?
People
for the Prisoner Rights Union?
The Prisoner Rights Union in Sacramento is in dire need of a grant and an angel and a sponsor and a few other things. It's been on hard times lately.
Oh, definitely.
That's hard to do. For the criminal defense stuff, I actually have an 800 number. If I can remember.
What do we put it? I'll put it on my website.
Okay.
And you can link to it if you want to contact our guests.
Sure.
And we can. And then there's also I've tried to link to some articles.
No problem.
On that. Yeah.
And I have a private investigator on that also for the.
For what?
For the criminal defense stuff. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Got the whole thing.
So, are you optimistic or not? His final words.
Am I optimistic?
At least about. Corona.
Optimistic.
Everybody seems to think he's like better than the previous sheriff, What do you think he is?
He's better than the previous sheriff. But he really hasn't got the guts to do what has to be done to clean up the jails. That's the sad part.
Well, there's no political payoff in that. It's better to, you know, be against, you know, child molestation and, you know, go to the White
House.
Well,
we're all against child molestation, but how we can be for beating the black prisoners is beyond me. Or people naked in the rubber rooms,
right.
Or rats in the women's jail, or, you know, I mean, these are things that are as awful can be. Medieval conditions are nothing that we can be proud of, and to not be willing to clean that up is opportunism, not character.
Well, on that note, I guess there's an open call to Mike Corona to be on this show, if you're listening, if he's listening. This is Dan Zhang signing off for Subversity here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the regents of the University of California, nor the management of KUCI. This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.